So, week six of coronavirus. What do we learn?
Move on.
Huh?
Move on.
Interesting Bible study for me this morning. We were in 2 Chronicles 7. And God says, He's talking to Solomon. He says, when the skies are shut up and there's no rain because of our sins, then we pray toward this temple. Now, this is Solomon talking to God, and claim you as our God, and turn from our sins because you have punished us. Then listen from heaven, forgive our sins, and teach us what is right, and then give rain upon this land which you've given to your people as their own property. And God says later on to Solomon, if I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locust swarms to eat up your crops, and if I send an epidemic among you, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, search for me, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear them from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. Now, in 6 weeks of this pandemic that has included locusts in South Africa and famines in other parts of the world and earthquakes and things here, the one thing that I have not seen from the people of God, any of the leaders of the people of God, is the remote possibility that this might be God and that we might need to repent and turn from our wicked ways. I've seen the most comical thing. Sam Sullivan was talking about, what's his name? Huh? Down in Dallas, Gloria and Kenneth Copeland blowing the coronavirus away. It was the most comical entertainment you have ever seen. It is absolutely hilarious. No wonder the world thinks Christians are idiots, because when these are your spokesmen, this guy consumes huge hours of the day on television, and he does something so ridiculous as thinks he's going to blow the coronavirus away. But I don't hear anybody calling for a time of prayer to humble ourselves, to ask for the mercy of God in the things that's going on. I did notice, and I've got a definition for y'all. The media has a new word that they like to wear out called unprecedented. Everything's unprecedented. Trump's actions unprecedented, this thing's unprecedented, that thing's unprecedented. We heard it in the oil issue that happened yesterday where the price of oil went negative. They were actually paying you $37 a barrel to haul oil away. That would be like me coming to Rose's and y'all paying me to take your food away. That's what they were doing. Or going to the grocery store and they pay you $10 to take a dozen eggs away from the grocery store. That was happening in oil. And they declared it was unprecedented. Well, for the media, unprecedented, I've determined, means this. It's never happened before. It's bigger than man. And it's probably God, but we can't say that because we're the media. We can't say that it was God. But it is God. God is turning our economy. He's turning our way of life upside down. And no one in the institutional churches, no one in public, no one that I'm hearing, and I don't hear everything, but certainly I have yet to hear in 6 weeks any spiritual people calling for repentance, calling for even the consideration that maybe God is rearranging things. And that maybe God is doing something new. Now, I say to you seriously, and I have been saying for a while, God started us back last September considering reprioritizing our life. We've been talking about some time now the things that God is pleased with, the things that he's displeased with, the false idols and things like that. I believe God is really calling us to a place to consider what's important to us. Not just us individually, but us as a culture. I mean, think about oil. About 100 years ago, people began to flood to Texas to wildcat oil in the state of Texas. And oil was the king. I mean, this thing was... Oil was the richest commodity, the most valuable commodity that the state of Texas had. It got down to a negative $38 a barrel. Negative value on the commodity that was of the greatest value. This was like taking J.R. Ewing and he became Clem Cadiddlehopper. If y'all know who Clem Cadiddlehopper, Clem Cadiddlehopper was a hobo that Red Skelton used to play on his show. And that's basically what happened. J.R. Ewing went from his towering palace down to Clem Cadiddlehopper the other day. And this thing's not going to go away overnight. This oil crunch, we have basically a $30 million barrel a day glut of oil. We're producing, we've got a $40 million reduction in demand because of the coronavirus, and we've reduced production by 10 million. So we've got a 30 million barrel a day excess production of oil. The one thing that's going to happen is storage tanks are going to become very valuable. If you got a 55-gallon drum, you can go somewhere and you can sell people storage of their oil because they're going to need someplace to store this stuff, and they're not going to be there. And I would imagine this will be an 18-month, two-year excess because you're not going to ramp up and start that demand back where it was. It'll be a long time before we're using as much oil as we did 2 months ago or in December. I mean, the aviation industry, the automobile industry, the agricultural industry, ag will get up pretty quick, but none of y'all are going to be traveling very much very quick, and nobody's going to be flying very much very quick. So this is going to take a while to get things back going. So, you know, the Lord had me about 2 years ago begin to pray about wisdom in how to administrate the miracle. Well, I feel like we've been through one miracle last week. I call it a Red Sea event where things happened in such a way and we as the people of God have been protected from them and in fact even benefited from them and we're moving forward from that. But I think we have a series of these things coming. But for the world, as our economy gets turned upside down, as, you know, I was telling people the other day, we have to recognize the need of the world. This isn't, you guys are not of this world. You're not Americans. You're sons of God. You're of a kingdom that is not of this world. And the nature of God is what we have to put on display. One of the articles that I was made aware of through this pandemic was the guy in India, I may have mentioned this last week, who was the taxi driver. He rides a bicycle rickshaw, and he makes $1.65 a week, and that's what he feeds his family of five with. He's out of business. With the India shutdown, he's out of business. I look at us here in Lubbock, Texas. We got homeless all through Lubbock, Texas. And our leadership is spending $60 million building a tower that they're going to go to twice a week. Who do these people think they are? They had a perfectly functional building that met their needs, and they're wasting $60 million And it'll be more than that. It'll be $160 million by the time they get through. Their initial bid was $60 million. To build a new city hall, to have a tower down there, while people below that tower are homeless and hungry. It doesn't make sense. We are the center of the Bible Belt. I have a friend, Sam Solon, who describes us as the turquoise stone on the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. That's the way he describes Lubbock, Texas. And we can't represent God. We can't take care of the hungry. We can't take care of the homeless. I mean, things have got to change. God is clearly shaking everything that can be shaken. And this is unprecedented, as the media says. This is clearly God. This isn't just Satan run amok. I mean, God had to give, if you want to say Satan's involved in this pandemic, that's fine. But he had to get the authority to do it from God. So this is God allowing, or this is God instigating, whichever way you put it. But he's calling mankind to a repentance. And we need to see it and we need to hear it. But the problem isn't the world. As I said a couple of weeks ago, the problem has never been the world. The problem is always the people who are called by God's name, who are not sensitive to what His Spirit's saying. We always make fun of, you hear these missionaries going to Indonesian nations and South African nations and all that, and they talk about the problem over there is that those people just add Jesus to the 360 gods that they already had. People, we're doing the same thing here. We don't take serious the lordship of Jesus Christ in our life and give Him a special place above all the other things that hold us captive. Greed, envy. We've talked about what mankind will look like at the end of time. And those things are running our lives. It's controlling who we are. It is a principality that governs our thinking. And we're going to see things like commerce be changed, and our economy will function under the economy of the kingdom rather than the system of commerce that produces jealousy and envy and greed and the things like that. But be sensitive. My encouragement to you is this. The world, no one is saying to the people, when they call and say, man, what are you doing? How's it going? How do you see handling this stuff? Is anybody saying, have you considered repenting to God for the way we've lived our lives, for the greed, for the envy, for the opulence that we have? I always go back, one of the most heartbreaking days to me was we were in Rome with a group of people, and we had gone into the Vatican, and we were in this Vatican that had all this opulence, all this gold, and everything, you know, so beautiful. And we walked out of that to go around to the Sistine Chapel, and there was an 18-inch wall. That's the wall around the Vatican. Outside that wall was the largest group of handicapped children, beggars, in the world. And they would be brought there every day and dropped off to beg for money. And between them and all this opulence was an 18-inch wall. And this was what was supposed to represent the people of God. And they were living in all this wealth. And these children were outside begging and nobody was taking care of them. God is trying to wake us up and to reprioritize what's important to us and who's important to us. Now, we may not be the ones in this room that feed the whole world, but there may be people in your lives that God will give you that you're to help. And we need to begin to look at those things, and we need to be open to the idea of having everything in our life moved around, and some things given a higher priority and some things given a lower priority, and maybe some things going away. But we've just begun. Those of you who listen to Sam, you've heard him talk about the birth pangs on a woman. We had the pandemic. Now we had the oil crisis. Now what's going to be the next one? And I believe there's another one coming. I believe it will continue to come until we... And I don't deny it. The body of Christ prays. They seek God. And they may even repent. But what we don't do is turn from our wicked ways. I mean, we live in a nation where we have declared our standard is in opposition to God. We declared homosexual marriage carries the full rights of God's marriage. You can't, as a nation, make that kind of stand. Somebody needs to repent. You can't just thumb your nose at God, but we've done it as a nation. So I say to you, begin to listen for that sound and encourage others to hear the sound of repentance, changing how we are living our life and turning from our wicked ways so that God might hear from heaven and heal not just our nation, but this whole world, because our globe is in an absolute pandemic and panic, fearful of provision, protection, and identity, those things that God's best at. Okay?